So we are just not doing well with this particular curtain. I just feel like this is me as a pastor. I just want to now completely ignore you guys and like care for this one sheep. There's something about a lost sheep and the one and the 99 and the party that's going to be had. So this is like my lost sheep right now. How are we doing? Is that okay? Can we get a straw poll? We get a vote? I don't want this to affect our relationship moving forward. Can you pay attention? Okay, this is, so all of our type A personalities, okay, just don't look at the curtain, all right? I need you, or go fix it, one of the two. Honestly, you're not going to offend me. I thought Ted just got it. Okay. Today, we are beginning a new conversation. It's just a two-week series where we want to talk a little bit about guidance for a healthy family formation. And if family isn't a helpful word, as I mentioned in the welcome, then I would love to encourage you to think about this as spheres of influence. You know, all of us have people around us that we are influential to, right? And there are people that we are influential to in sort of a larger kind of a sense, maybe at work. Even you might think about people in our community, people that you may not have much interaction with, but they're affected by the way that you vote. They're affected by the way you live your life, the way you stop at stoplights. And then as we move closer and closer, we bring that circle in further and further, there are people who are closest to us, where our everyday decisions and our everyday actions matter a great deal to them. We can think about a boulder, perhaps, in a river, having an influence on the way that the water moves around it. And especially when we talk about family, we're talking about perhaps the biggest boulders in our lives that shape the way that we move and interact with the world. And today, we are going to be looking at how God uses our all-in commitment to change our families for the better. And we see that in the story of Ruth and Naomi that we get to have this sort of archetype of what it looks like to be all in committed. This is a beautiful, beautiful book. We love the story of Ruth, and I hope that you got a sense as we read through even just the beginning portion of it, 17 verses, how this particular story is shaping really the way that we understand family. There's a narrative plot line that runs throughout the book. There's a device that's being used where there is an extreme crisis, and then there is an extreme resolution. And if you continue to read through the book, you're going to see this pattern over and over again, crisis and resolution. And in the very first chapter, we see the beginning of this crisis, right, where Naomi's family is almost completely killed because of a famine. Her husband, her two sons, and she is left with her daughter-in-laws. And in the Middle East, at this time, that was a real crisis to her physical well-being. And you can see it in her actions, the way that she is despairing. And she is hopeless, it seems. This was like a death sentence in many ways to Naomi, and Naomi knows it. And so she even tells her daughter-in-laws to go away from her, to go somewhere else, and to find a way forward, because they're grieving too, and they have physical needs as well. And they need to go and take care of themselves first and leave her in her misery and in her despair. But in a stunning resolution, we hear that one daughter-in-law is going to stay with her, right? Our hero of the story, Ruth. Ruth is going to stay with Naomi, and she makes this unbelievable profession of her commitment in that moment. She says, "Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Wow. It's so powerful. Those are some of the most powerful words to me in all of Scripture. We use these a lot as readings during weddings because it feels like that kind of lofty sort of statement that we make to our spouse in our vows. And of course, we're using language that is trying to express something that is too big for words. And so we say things like this, where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. And this is really humanity at its best. We all want somebody, we all need somebody to put their hand in ours and say, you and me, babe, how about it? But Ruth doesn't just talk the talk. She walks the walk of commitment to Naomi. She backs it up with her actions. She actually goes with Naomi through more crisis and more resolution throughout this story. Things don't immediately get easy for them. They do life together. And honestly, this seems on the surface objectively a bit crazy, right? I mean, life is hard. Life is hard enough already. And Ruth has enough to worry about on her own. And now she's committing her life to another person. And she's saying, what happens to you is now going to happen to me. And where you go, I am going to go. And if I experience something good, you're going to experience something good. It looks a bit crazy from the outside, but I have to say that commitment typically does from the outside. But if we kept reading the story, and we're not going to, but if we kept reading the story, then we would see how, in the end, God provides a truly stunning resolution for Naomi and Ruth and generations to come. It's not an understatement to think that God saves Naomi through the commitment of Ruth, which means that Ruth is more than just a historical figure, and Ruth is more than just a great story that we can look to and be inspired by. Ruth taps into something primal in us because she is an example of the way God saves the world through the commitment of Jesus. Because when the Bible wants to talk about God and Jesus, it uses a family as a metaphor, right? We understand that Jesus sees God as his Father and that the Father loves his Son, Jesus. And we also understand that when God looks at humanity, when God looks at us, he doesn't see his Son. He sees a type of Naomi. Lost, lacking, in crisis. And in many ways, humanity, even like Naomi, will tell God that he's better off just turning around and leaving us to figure things out on our own. In our worst moments, we are lonely and hopeless enough to even want to push away those who are closest. But instead, God is sending Jesus to save humanity through his commitment to us and to bring us into a family relationship with him, like Jesus has with the Father, like Ruth has with Naomi. This is what Jesus says in John 15, right? He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. It's like that statement that Ruth makes to Naomi. We hear echoes of that same statement where we don't earn Jesus' commitment to us. We simply respond by setting down deep roots in Jesus. If Ruth is the archetype, then Jesus is the fulfillment of being all in for us. If Ruth can make a promise and say, I don't want even death to separate us, then Jesus fulfills that promise to not even let death separate us. Jesus says this, oh, that's the next one. It's supposed to be the joke slide. Jesus says this about being all in. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You see, through the cross, God makes good on Ruth's promise that not even death will separate us. We do life together with Jesus, and we find our place in an eternal home with him. So how do we reflect that then? That sort of commitment in our families? Well, if we look at Ruth and we look at Jesus, then we may want to start with our words. Sharing our feelings is essential to building healthy homes, but it's challenging for some of us. Joke slide. Right? When it comes to our closest relationships, a spouse, a child, a mother-in-law, etc., it can be easy to assume that they already know how we feel without us actually expressing it. What's really interesting is, contrary to popular opinion, right, and popular learning, thoughts and memories are not held in bank vaults of the mind where we can just sort of open a door and access them whenever we want. And as long as they're in that vault, then we know that they're in there and we can just go in and access them whenever we want. That's not how memories and learning works. What we're coming to learn about human memory is that it is more like a beehive, where the bees are constantly in motion, bringing in the new good stuff, right? Getting rid of old, unused stuff, trying to protect the store of valuable things. Memory is alive and active, and much like building up muscle by lifting weights, the act of talking and learning and thinking builds up an even greater capacity to talk and learn and think. Which means that the best possible way to communicate that you are committed to the people you love most is by sharing how you feel in small ways consistently over time. 10-minute conversations when you get home from work, putting away the phone, putting down the remote, and having a meal together. Practicing the Faith Five in our homes. This is how we express our feelings. But it is also how we begin to understand our family's needs. The author and researcher, Chap Clark, wrote a book about adolescence and the emergence of this new generation in a book called Hurt 2.0. And this is what he says about what our children, what our families really need. He says, parents need to see their parental role as a marathon, recognizing that building a relationship to which their child trusts them is even more important than whether they can trust their child regarding the immediate issues of the day. It's a marathon. It's built on small, consistent signs of our commitment and our love to the people that are closest to us. He goes on to say that the best possible thing we can do for a child, if we want them to be strengthened and to move through adolescence and into adulthood, is to provide them with a family, with a relationally committed father and mother, and a home that is a place of safety and security where they can be accepted and loved. See, when we slow down and when we show up through our words and our actions in small ways, consistently over time. God uses our commitment to bring a stunning resolution into the lives of the people around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you use us as your hands and feet and heart. And you use our everyday, ordinary actions to show the people around us the type of love and grace and commitment that we have with you. May everything that we do be a reflection of your all-in commitment to us as we go from here. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.